today, I want to discuss something with you as you leave this particular conference. As a base for what I have to say, I want to read one verse of Scripture. It's found in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Thank you, Brother Haney, for the introduction. Sister Haney, what a lovely, lovely couple you are. Just a lovely couple and great Christians. In fact, I feel really quite smug that I know you folks, in Jesus' name. And with that said, let me read this particular text. The Bible here says, it's a warning. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. I want to entitle this today, If They Shall Fall Away. Would you lift your hands, your voices, and your hearts, and would you pray that God will do with us here today exactly what He wants to do, and that there will be revelation and that there will be understanding come upon us individually and as a conglomerate. Let us let our voices out together. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the miraculous. We thank You for the healings, the deliverances. We thank You, God, for the impartation of Your Spirit, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. We are here today to lift up Your name, to exalt Your word. Help us to feel the brush of angels' wings, the touch of the Master's hand, the sound of Your voice, the vibration, reverberation of the sandal-footed man from Galilee, walking through the corridors of our hearts, that we will leave here changed. Changed by the power of Your word, changed by the presence of Your Spirit. Anoint us, O Master of the universe. Bind us together in one mind and one accord, and may we never be the same, in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Would you clap uproariously with whatever strength you have left? And would you shout with your voice to the Lord? It is written in the Bible, Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Death is certain, but the Bible speaks about untimely death. Here are some men and women who have mocked God. Some years before, John Lennon, a singer, during his interview with an American magazine, he said, Christianity will end. It will disappear. I do not have to argue about that. I am certain. Jesus was okay, but his disciples were too simple. Today, we are more famous than him. He made that statement in 1966. Lennon, after having said that the Beatles were more famous than Jesus Christ, was shot 6 times. Tancredo Neves, president of Brazil, during the presidential campaign, he said if he got 500,000 votes from his party, not even God would remove him from presidency. Sure, he got the votes, but he got sick one day before being made president and died. Cazuza, a bisexual Brazilian composer, he was a singer and a poet. During a show in Rio de Janeiro, while smoking his cigarette, he puffed one puff of smoke into the air and said, God, that's for you. He died at the age of 32 of lung cancer in a horrible manner. The man who built the Titanic. After the construction of the Titanic, a reporter asked him, how safe the Titanic would be. With an ironic tone, he said, quote, "Not even God can sink it." The result, I think, you all know what happened to the Titanic. Marilyn Monroe was a famous blonde-headed actress when I was much younger. She was visited by Billy Graham during a presentation of a show. He said the Spirit of God had sent him to preach to her. After hearing what Billy Graham had to say, she said, "I don't need your Jesus." 1 week later, she was found dead in her apartment. Ron Scott was a singer, the ex-vocalist of an AC/DC group. On one of his 1979 songs, he sang, "Don't stop me. I'm going down all the way, down the highway to hell." On the 19th of February, 1980, Bon Scott was found dead. He had been choked by his own vomit. In Campinas, Brazil, a group of friends, drunk, went to pick up a friend. The mother accompanied her to the car and was so worried about the drunkenness of her friends. And she said to the daughter, holding her hand, who was already seated in the car, she said, "My daughter, go with God and may He protect you." The daughter responded, "Only if He, God, travels in the trunk, because inside here it's already full." Hours later, news came by that they had been involved in a fatal accident. Everyone had died, and the car could not even be recognized for what type and model of car it had been. But surprisingly, the trunk was intact. The police said there was no way the trunk could have remained intact. To their surprise, inside the trunk was a crate of eggs. Not one was broken. Christine Hewitt, a Jamaican journalist and entertainer, said the Bible, the Word of God, was the worst book ever written. In June of 2006, she was found burnt beyond recognition in her motor vehicle. September 11, most of us will ever and always remember that date. But on September 11, when the Trade Towers fell in New York City, there was also an attack against the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. And there was one whole wall of one of the Pentagon buildings there that was just totally blown and torn away. But what's interesting about it is, and I have this photograph in my files at home, on the second floor of the building that was torn away, on the second floor, next to the wall that had been torn away, was a stool about this high. And on the top of that stool, with debris all around the stool, the wall now missing, on the top of that stool was a Bible lying open. Not one page had been torn. There was no debris on the pages of the Bible. Everything around it was destroyed. But the Word of God was intact on the seat of that stool. The Bible is the anvil that has worn out many hammers. Men have come and gone, but the Bible endures. It is the Word of God, and nothing can change it. Nothing can alter it. Nothing can stand against it. I'm here this morning to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, it is a serious thing to mock God. It is a serious thing to mock His Word. It is a serious thing to mock His ways. Brother T.W. Barnes passed away a few years ago at 92 years of age. He was a prophet of God. He was a prophet among us. He called me probably 15, maybe 18 years ago. I can't remember now exactly how many years, but it was back there in that time frame. He said that God had given him a vision. He said, Brother Stone King, he said, I saw a hill, a high hill. He said, on the top of that hill, there was a church, a white church. There were no trees around it. There were no shrubs. There was nothing growing on the hillside up to the church. It was just so obvious, the church on the hill, on the top of this hill. And on the side of this church was the name of Jesus flashing. It was a Jesus name church. The name of Jesus was flashing on the side of that church. He said, but around the bottom of that hill, there was a vast forest. And he said, you could hear, I could hear charismatics in that forest worshiping and dancing and praising God. He said, but all of a sudden, as I watched this vision, he said, those charismatics began to come out of the forest. And he said, they began to come up on this hill, and they saw the name of Jesus flashing on the side of this Jesus name church. He said, they began to make their ascent up the hill. He said, to me, it was exciting because I felt that they were coming toward the revelation of the name of Jesus and the oneness of God. But he said, as I watched, suddenly there were men that came out of the Jesus name church and began to walk down the hillside and reach their hands out to the charismatics that were coming out of the forest. He said, I thought they would pick the hands of the charismatic and pull them to this Jesus name church. He said, but to my dismay, he said, they turned with the charismatics and walked into the forest with them. We have seen that vision come to pass in the last 8 or 10 years. There is treachery afoot in this hour. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken, and only that which cannot be shaken is going to remain. I've never seen anything like what's going on right now. In the 49 years I've been among you, I've never seen or felt a shaking like the shaking that's going on right now. But I tell you exactly what God is doing. He knows the hearts of those among us who really love His truth and who really love His holiness. And those that don't, He's exposing them. He's shaking them loose. But that bunch that cannot be shaken loose, the Holy Ghost is going to fall on them, and they're going to run with it, and they're going to reach our world. That's exactly what's going on. That's exactly what's happening in this day. And so here I feel that this is that bunch that cannot be shaken loose. Would you clap your hands? Would you exalt the Lord? Would you lift your voice? After what we have experienced here this week, Jesus, I praise you. I think you ought to do that again. I feel something. I can feel something. Jesus, I mentioned that Brother T.W. Barnes is a prophet of God. He was the most incredible individual I've ever known of people among us in the years that I have walked in this wonderful apostolic truth. He always treated me like his own boy. He did. And he was the best friend I've ever had. I talk to him all the time. He asked that I speak at his funeral, and I did. But at the end of that, all of that, Sister Barnes sent me his Bible and all of his sermon notes. So I own his Bible, and I own his sermon notes, and I have shirts, ties, various things that are very valuable to me. But I didn't open his Bible for, I don't know, it was quite a while after I received it. I just didn't. But one day I decided I would just pick up his Bible and open it and read from it. He had a lot of markings in it. And I noticed in the front of the Bible, in between the pages, there was something he had placed in between those pages. And when I opened it, it was opened, and with these pages were placed in there at the text in Genesis chapter 12, where God told Abraham, those that bless you, I will bless, and those that curse you, I will curse. And in there, he had cut out photos of Arab leaders, Muslim leaders throughout the world, who had vowed to destroy Israel and take her off the map. And what's interesting about it, in the photos of these Muslim leaders, across their foreheads, he had written with his own handwriting, cursed. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And as I began to look through those photos, Osama bin Laden was on there. He's gone. Others are on there, and some of them are missing. And I keep watching because he was a prophet. And those men are being deleted, shall we say, from the face of humanity in this hour. Brother Barnes was the kind of individual that under Brother Urshan's administration as general superintendent, Brother Urshan called for a world conference in Jerusalem. Brother Barnes went to that particular conference. He was asked to speak there. And he told me, he said, Brother Stone King, when I got to Jerusalem, because they had flown nonstop from New York City to Tel Aviv, and that's about a 9-hour flight nonstop, he said, and they drove straight to Jerusalem, and he was tired. He said, so I went to my hotel room. They had assigned me, and he said, in that room, he said, I just closed the door, locked it, and went over to the bed in my hotel room and lay down on my back on the bed because I was tired. But the thing about him is, years, many, many years ago, God had called him to pray for the Jews and for the nation of Israel. And he prayed faithfully for the Jews, the restoration of the land, the nation of Israel. He prayed continuously for the house of Israel. In fact, I know that Jewish rabbis flew into Minden, Louisiana to talk with him for just a half hour or an hour. They wanted to hear his take on Jesus being the Messiah. So he had this kind of platform, shall we say, with Judaism and with the Jews. He said, but Brother Stone King, he said, when I laid down on my back on that bed, he said, Michael, the archangel of the Jews, came into my hotel room to welcome me to the nation of Israel. He said, when he walked in my room, the power of God hit me, threw me out of the bed, on my feet, on the floor, and fire, the color of the rainbow, raced around the ceiling. People, apostolic days are not coming. They're up on us. They are with us. Prophets are with us. Evangelists are with us. The whole fivefold ministry is with us in this hour, and the church is being perfected in this hour like it's never been before. There is revival among us where they want it. There are signs, wonders, and miracles. The gifts of the Spirit are breaking out. That is shouting material just right there. That's shouting material. Because we have lived to see this day. We have lived to see this day. It's not coming. It's here. We've had it in this conference. So clap your hands again. Shout with a voice of triumph. Because there is triumph in this house. There is victory in this house. And there's more coming. This thing is going to intensify and intensify and intensify until the rapture, until the coming of the Lord. Clap again and just shout with your voice. There's a shout in this place. There is a rejoicing in this place. Jesus, we have come to worship you because you are God. Blessed be the name of Jesus forever. And then Brother Barnes told me, he said, you know, he always called me boy. He said, you know, boy, he said, Michael and I work very well together. He said, we've done a lot of projects for Israel and the Jews. Well, now, how many men do you know that talk about working with Michael, the archangel of the Jews? But that's who he was. That's what he was. I've got photos of him preaching in that conference. Teddy Kollek was the mayor of Jerusalem at the time. Teddy Kollek sat in that conference where Brother Barnes preached and saw fellow Jews fall out in front of the pulpit, speaking with tongues and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This thing was not done in a corner, and it's not going to end in a corner. This thing is out. The news is out, and there is no ism and there is no schism that can stop it. There is nothing that's going to stop what's going on. There is no ism. There is no schism. There is no devil in hell nor combination of devils that's going to be able to stop what the church is doing, because greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And that greater has a name. That greater has a name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Devils tremble at the mention of the name. They back off. Diseases depart. Deliverance is invoked because of the name of Jesus. Why don't you just shout the name of Jesus for a moment? The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 1, 8 and 9, he said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, here's the understanding. We know that the Apostle Paul repented. He believed in repentance and preached it. We know that the Apostle Paul preached water baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. He preached it. We know the Apostle Paul had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, as the initial evidence of the Spirit of God abiding, residing inside of a human being, being the birth of the Spirit. We know he preached that. It's in the Bible. We know he preached the oneness of God. We know that he did. We also know that he preached separation or holiness. The Apostle Paul is the chief writer of the epistles outlining Bible holiness. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, God gives 15 verses to this business of uncut hair on women. Nowhere in his writings, anywhere else, does he go to such an extent to establish a truth. 15 verses he gives to that subject. So I can authoritatively say here today, upon the Bible, the Word of God, the recorded record, that the Apostle Paul preached repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, the oneness of God, separation from this world, holiness. He preached those things. And Paul wrote to that church in Galatia, and he said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received from us, let him be accursed. This is what I've come to say here today. These people who are leaving this holiness, these people who are leaving the apostles' doctrine, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, they are cursed. There is a curse upon them. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with the organization I belong to. It has to do with the Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. It's not my idea. It's not my philosophy. It's not my doctrine. It is written in the Word. Those people are cursed. Those people are cursed
by God. People, if you understand what's going on in your heart and soul in this church service here today, you ought to pray the rest of your life every day, God, don't ever let me be deceived. God, don't ever let me be deceived. God, don't ever let me be deceived. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is that. Another that is not coming. You can come from anything to this, but you cannot go from this to anything else. There is nothing else to go to. This is the end of the line. So you might as well get into it. You might as get into this. You ought to shout it. You ought to dance it. You ought to preach it. You ought to live it. You ought to hold your head up high, because this is the end of the line. Clap your hands with rejoicing and shout with rejoicing to the presence of the Lord.
Jesus. Jesus. And those people, our preachers that have left this truth, this holiness, this Bible holiness, the apostles' doctrine, they'll never be back. They're gone. And here's why I'm saying this. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, in verse 4, Paul says, "For it is impossible," everyone say impossible, "for those who were once enlightened," everyone say enlightened, "and have tasted," say tasted, "of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers," say partakers, "of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted," there it is again, say tasted, "the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Now, I've been in this 49 years, as I've said. I've heard that business about falling away. I've heard it preached and taught a number of ways. I've heard it preached that that means to fall away means to just terribly, terribly backslide. And if you do just terribly, terribly backslide, that you will never get back. It's impossible. Well, I've heard that taught. And I've heard it preached. However, I have seen people through the years totally, terribly backslide and stay backslidden for years and pray through, live it for the rest of their lives. And I've preached their funerals and they made it. They made it. So it cannot mean, to fall away cannot mean then to simply terribly backslide. What does it mean? I did a little study. I went into the Greek. The words fall away comes from the Greek word paapato, which means to fall aside, to apostatize, to fall away. It means to be in apostasy, abandoning of what one believes. It means to become an apostate or a renegade. It means to apostatize, to abandon one's faith. You cannot abandon anything unless you make the decision to do so. It's the choice you make. And the choices you make are the only things you possess in this life. Why did any of us ever repent of our sins at an altar like this one? Because we heard repentance preached powerfully by an anointed man of God, and the convicting power of God convicted us that we needed to repent. And we repented, and something miraculous happened, because we felt a lifetime of sin slip from us and we stood up forgiven. Why did any of us ever get baptized in Jesus' name or get rebaptized in Jesus' name? Again, because we heard baptism in Jesus' name preached by an anointed man of God. And again, the convicting power of God persuaded us, convinced us that we had to be baptized or rebaptized in Jesus' name in water for the remission of our sins. Why did any of us ever receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues? Because, again, it was preached by an anointed pastor, evangelist, some preacher with anointing preached that you had to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues. It was birth of the Spirit. We got it because it was preached and the convicting power of God persuaded us that we had to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was the hardest thing for me of all of this business of being converted to apostolic Christianity. I used to think, how does one speak in a language they don't know? And that was difficult for me because I've got the kind of brain that they used to tell me, oh, when you get the Holy Ghost, it just bubbles. And then they would tell me, it's like seeing a ball of fire. Another guy told me, it was the husband of my Sunday school teacher in an apostolic church like this one, said, it's like being plugged into 220. Well, I've been shocked at 110. I know for sure I don't want to be plugged into 220. And so I come to church looking for a ball of fire, 220, bubbles. I've had the Holy Ghost 49 years. The Holy Ghost has never bubbled one time in 49 years. So I come to the altar and all of these things, and I'm praying, and it was amazing. I had more hair than I have now, and they put their hands on my head and mess up my hair. And there was a basement in a parsonage. That mean there were splinters in the pews, there were cobwebs in the ceiling from the ceiling. It wasn't even finished off. The carpet was worn out. The altar rail shook. And here I am in this basement, and they're praying with me, and they would take my tie off. And I was voted the best-dressed man in the Evangelical Free Church, where I used to go. So I would wear the best clothes I had to this Pentecostal church because I didn't want to offend Jesus, and he might give me the Holy Ghost. So I wore the best I had every night to that basement. After every service, every altar service, everything went into the cleaners the next day. I looked like I had crawled out of a garbage can. It was in the summer, and no air conditioning in July in Iowa, hot, humid. Then they would take off my jacket. They would massage my shoulders while I was praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. It's nowhere to be found. And then someone would say, hold on. Someone over here say, let go. How does one hold on and let go at the same time? I don't know how to do that. And then they say, yield. Yield to what? I don't know what you're talking about. I finally decided a lot of people among us get the Holy Ghost, not because of us, but in self-defense. I mean, they get it because they've got to get it. They've just got to get it and escape all of this. But one night, October 6, 1963, and I would, you know, because English has always been a major for me, and I've always worked with enunciation, pronunciation, diction, all of that stuff, and I majored in English and Drake University, all of that. English is not difficult for me. English is a beautiful language if it's spoken correctly. It's a beautiful language. So when I would get to praying and I would begin to lose control of what I was saying, it sounded funny to me, strange. And I was out of control, see? And that's exactly what you have to get. Out of control. So when I would begin to get stammering lips, I would stop, lick my lips, and swallow. And I just swallowed the Holy Ghost. I mean, he was right there. And then I'd begin all over again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the moment I begin to lose control, that I'd repeat this. One night, I got so weary, I didn't care what it sounded like. I didn't care. And I said, I was down on my knees, because I'm an introvert made extrovert by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's really who I am. There's a shy side to me. You wouldn't believe that now, but I never had a speech class in my whole life. I was scared to death of that in high school. I lied my way out of it. But once I got the Holy Ghost, I couldn't lie anymore. So everything changed. I had to get involved. I suppose it's good to laugh at oneself. I suppose it is. But I was down quietly, just down on my knees at the altar. And the Holy Ghost said to me, you could reach a little higher. And I thought, no, this is okay, Jesus. I'm okay right here. It's okay. And I felt the Holy Ghost lift from me a little bit. So I got up on my knees and raised my hands a little higher. And then I prayed, and the blessing of God came on me more powerfully. And then I said, the Holy Ghost said to me, you could reach a little higher to me. And I'm thinking, no, this is fine. I'm fine right here. I'm okay right here. But I could feel him lift and leave. So I stood up a little higher and lifted my arms higher. He said again, you could lift higher. You could reach higher. I finally stood up on my feet and was reaching. And, of course, I felt a little bit inconspicuous, and that's the shy side of me. And I still have that. There are certain things I don't like to do. I do them because I have to do them. I'm expected to do them, but I don't like it. And I won't tell you what they are, but there are things I don't like to do. I have to do it because I'm a minister and people expect it of me, but there are things that I'm uncomfortable with. It has to do with the fact that there's a shyness in my personality. So, finally, I'm standing here, and the Holy Ghost said to me, you could reach higher. And, well, I'm already on my feet. So I thought, there's nothing. What else can I do? So I went up on my toes like this. But I could only stand there just so many seconds, and I had to come down. And finally, I said, Jesus, I have reached to you as high as I can possibly reach. There's nothing more I can do. You have got to come down to me. And at that moment, the Holy Ghost fell on me. The Holy Ghost fell on me. And I burst out speaking with tongues. And I spoke with tongues for over an hour and a half. It just poured out of me. I spoke in different dialects, different languages. I was flat on my back. I had snow white pants on, a dark brown sport coat, a nice tie, lying on that dirty cement floor. And when I stopped speaking with tongues, I looked up, and Brother Butcher, my pastor, was leaning over the back of the pew looking down at me. And I opened my eyes and I said, Brother Butcher, I've got it. I've got it. He said, I'm afraid you do, boy. And so they took me over to the house to eat after church. It was near midnight, something like that. And they asked me to say grace, and I started speaking with tongues. I went home and knelt down beside my bed to thank God for giving me the Holy Ghost, and I began to speak with tongues. It just flowed out. The next morning when the alarm clock went off to go to work, I just shut the alarm off and stayed in bed by 8 o'clock, and then I called the office where I worked, and I said, I'm not coming in today. They said, are you sick? I said, no. They said, what's wrong? I said, you'd never, ever understand. But because I had prayed so hard to get the Holy Ghost, when I finally got it, I declared a national holiday for myself, and I stayed home from work with pay. I listened to Merle Ewing. I listened to Sister Mangan. I played those LPs. I spoke with tongues. I practiced the Holy Ghost all day long. So what I'm saying is, I've got it. It's 49 years later, and I've still got it. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got it. Look back and say, and I'm going to keep it. Throw your hands in the air for just a moment and let your voice out, because there is a joy here. There is a revelation here. There's a connection here. This is the greatest experience of an entire lifetime. Why do we believe? Why do we believe all of this? Because it was preached to us by the convicting power of God. He convinced us we needed to repent. Get baptized in water in Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. Why do we believe in the oneness of God? Because again, it was preached, and by the convicting power of God, we were convicted and saw with the revelatory power of God the truth, and we embraced it. Why do we practice holiness? Why do we live this way? Why do we dress this way? Why do we act this way? Because we are not of this world. We're only passing through here. We do not look like this world. We do not act like this world. We do not talk like this world. We do not think like this world, because we are not of this world. We're only, I reiterate, passing through. We are born of that new Jerusalem which is above. That's where we belong. That's where we relate. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Lord of our lives. The law of the Lord is perfect. The Lord, the Tokarisha Tafaraka, the law of the Lord is perfect. So what I'm saying here, everything we have from God, we got it by conviction, by His convicting power that these things are true. They are our convictions, and we preach them, we teach them, we live them, because we receive them from God Himself by His revealing revelatory power to us personally. If we ever willfully walk away from any one of these convictions that God has given to us, you will never get them back again. It is impossible. Example. When I was pastoring, there was a man in the church. He lived for God for some time. And for whatever reason, he backslid. And people don't backslide overnight. They've been looking in the wrong direction for a long time. And that's why they eventually go there, because you're going to go where you're looking. The thing you give yourself to is what you're going to become. The people you associate with, that's what you're going to become. It's as inevitable as the stream merging with the ocean at last. It's only a matter of time. This man backslid. Didn't take the people, the guys on the job where he worked, very long to figure out. He wasn't living it like he had been preaching it to them. And they jumped in there, began to mock and scoff what he had told them. And this guy jumped in there with him. He said, yeah, he said, that Holy Ghost, it's just a bunch of jibber jabber, never really did anything for me. He joined them. Time came and went, as it does. We had a meeting. And he came to the meeting, and he came to the altar, shed a few tears, and spoke a few words in tongues. He stuck around for about a month. And then he was gone. He never did to this day ever come back. But then I won another girl in the church in those years from the local high school. In fact, we turned the whole high school upside down, won a bunch of those kids. But there was one girl, 16 years of age. She wonderfully, wonderfully got the Holy Ghost, and she lived it. But she had a very dysfunctional lifestyle being raised, and she could sing. I've never heard anyone sing like she could sing. She could bring the house down. She was absolutely incredible. But there was a point that I went back on the field and did some evangelistic work for a while, and someone else came in and took the church. And during that time, she backslid. So, again, it didn't take the people on the job where she worked very long to understand that she wasn't living what she had told them. And so they began to mock and scoff and point fingers and make fun. She stood to her feet and she said, listen, don't you judge those people by the way I'm living. They really have what they say they have. It's really true. I'm just not living it, but it's really real. In other words, she didn't live it, but she never lost her convictions that it was true. She was not willing to give up her conviction. She knew in her heart this was the truth. She didn't live it, but she would not abandon her convictions that God had given her. Later, she came and prayed through, and she's a pastor's wife today. The difference is the man willfully walked away from the convictions and let go of them. She never walked away from the convictions. She didn't live it, but she never lost her convictions that the truth was the truth. There was a woman in the early 70s. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, preaching. We had a move of God. There were 70-some that got the Holy Ghost. 50 were baptized. There was a beauty queen that came from, I think it was Florida, and got the Holy Ghost. There were miracles of healing in that meeting. That was back in the 70s. It was amazing. News spread of that move of God all over. Well, there was a woman in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that had been out of the church 25 years. She had not been to church in 25 years. She heard about the move of God, and she came to the service one night. And she was a stately-looking lady. She really was, dressed in a really nice black-looking suit, woman's suit, dress. It was just, she was just stunning. And you could not tell by looking at her that she was not one of us. In 25 years, she'd never cut her hair. So when she came to the altar and knelt down over here, you would have thought she was just one of us. But I knew that she wasn't, because of what they had told me, that she hadn't been to church in 25 years. I knelt down in front of her, began to pray with her. In about 5 or 6 minutes, that woman burst out speaking with tongues as the Spirit of God gave her the utterance. And when she began to speak with tongues, she had been born with one ear deaf. After 25 years of not coming to the house of God, and now she's praying back through, God opened that deaf ear as a sign to her that He had accepted her. She didn't live it. She didn't come to church, but she never lost the convictions that it was true. People, it all begins with holiness. That's where it begins. They let go of holiness, and then slowly but surely, the doctrine erodes. It just keeps going down. And they end up on the Roman road. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I've watched people for 49 years. I've watched preachers that have left this holiness, this doctrine. They never get back, because they can't get back. Revelation and deception feel exactly the same, because they both come from God. You remember what it was like when someone first witnessed to you about the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues, and how you need to be baptized in Jesus' name? You remember what it was like? The revelation, the excitement, the glory. It was just amazing, the freedom that you felt. The revelation was the blessing of God. Revelation comes with blessing from God. But deception comes with the curse of God. But they both feel exactly the same. For example, it is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? Because they didn't love the truth, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, and this happens over and over, someone's on the phone, you're on the phone talking to someone, a relative, someone else in the church, someone across town from a church that has less dedication, consecration than the church where you go, and you begin to talk like, I don't know if all of this is really all that important. I don't know if God requires all of this. And God stops by, and He listens to that conversation. And He walks on. And a month or two later, you're on the phone again. Some preacher's on the phone. Look, I think we need to loosen up here a little bit. We don't need to be in any kind of bondage. We need to make this thing relative to the world. This gospel has never been relative to the world. What a bunch of nonsense that is. And they talk back and forth. I think we're going to loosen up a little bit here. I don't think that all this is really all that necessary. And God is listening. And so He stops and He says, you want to believe that? I'll help you to believe it. And he sends a strong delusion. And they believe a lie. And they're just as excited about that delusion and that lie that God has sent them as they were the truth in the beginning. And they all say the same thing if you talk to them. I just feel so free. They all say the same thing. I just feel so free. But it is the freedom of a curse that God has sent upon them. People, hear me. I said to Jesus not long ago, Jesus, if you have to drag me, you drag me. But don't let me miss the rapture. Whatever you do, don't let me miss the rapture. Because there's nothing out there that can equal this. There's nothing out there that can equal this. There is nothing out there that can equal this. People, this is all that matters. 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 Nothing else matters. Because if you are living for God and this truth is in your heart alive, if Jesus comes this afternoon, you will leave this world. People, if you've got this truth in your heart, this apostolic truth, the Apostle Paul said, though we are an angel, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. If you are living the gospel that the apostles preached, you can lay your head on a pillow at night and know that if you close your eyes in death, you are going to wake up in a place called heaven. If the rapture takes place, you will be lifted out of that bed into the arms of God in the rapture. People, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Nothing else is going to matter but that. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Somebody get me to him. Somebody get me to this Jesus. I want to touch him. I want to hear his voice. I want to look in his face. I want to feel the presence and the power of God. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of religion. I'm sick of church. I'm sick of camp meetings. I'm sick of conferences. Unless when I get there, Jesus is going to be there and somebody's going to get healed. Somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to get delivered. Somebody's going to be miraculously lifted into a realm of the supernatural. That's what church is all about. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. And anywhere Jesus is, wherever he is, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. That's why there were miracles here last night. That's why there are miracles here again today. Because Jesus is in this house. Jesus is in this house. Where Jesus is, anything, 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 anything can happen. Anything can happen. Clap your hands again and shout. Shout unto this Savior. Shout unto this God of all gods. Just for a moment, whatever you feel like doing, I give you license to do it. Whatever you feel like doing, just do it. You may feel like dancing. You may feel like climbing over a pew. You may feel like running. You may feel like shouting. You may feel like falling on your knees. But people, in the house of God, in the presence of God, where truth is the ultimate, this truth has made us free. This truth has made us free. And we do not apologize. That's it. That's it. That's it. There's revelation here. Somebody has just been rescued. Somebody has just been rescued this morning in this service. Somebody, not just one somebody, but many somebodies have been rescued here in the last few moments. You've got a right to shout. You've got a right to dance. You've got a right to run. You've got a right to praise him. So shout unto the Lord. Shout unto the Lord. Shout unto the Lord. Thank you.
Jesus. Is there anybody here today? Is there anybody here today? You want to just run to this altar and say, God, all over again, I want to dedicate myself to this apostolic truth, to the apostles' doctrine, to this Bible holiness. I want to dedicate my life. I want to dedicate my very being to this truth. Because when you do, people, there's an anointing upon you. There's a power upon you. There's something upon you that's going to help to reach this darkened world. You are a light. You are a city set on a hill. That nothing can hide it. There's nothing can hide what's inside of you. Inside of you is resurrection power. You as believers can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You can cast out devils in the name of Jesus. You've got that kind of power. That's who you are. So act like it. My admonition to you today is to act like it. Act like it. Act like it. Let the demonstration of the Spirit of God and power flow through you because you are powerful. You people are powerful because you are the people of God. You are the people of God. You are the people of God. That's it. That's it. Let your voice out. Don't worry about anybody around you. Just let your voice out. Let your voice out. Seek Him while He may be found. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. Some of you are receiving healing. Some of you are just receiving mighty deliverance. Mighty deliverance. That's it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, hear us, O Master of the universe. Lord Jesus, see our lifted hands, O God. Let it be as the evening sacrifice. Let the sound of our pray, O Kotakarisha, our praying be as the burning of incense. O Master of the universe, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hear us as we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto the holiness of God, unto the truth of God, unto the word of the Most High God. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Glory and honor be thine, O Master of the universe. Hallelujah! With the anointing that is upon you here today, with the anointing that is upon you, get a hold of somebody, get a hold of somebody. Some of you are ministering powerfully right now. The Holy Ghost is flowing. There's authority, authority flowing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. You can feel the power of the Holy One of Israel. flowing through us, flowing. That's it. That's it. At the hands of believers. At the hands of believers. There are miracles happening right now. Miracles are happening right now at the hands of believers. At the hands of believers. That power inside of you is from ancient days. That power inside of you is from ancient days. God, that we will never be the same. That we will never be the same. That the spirit of revelation will penetrate our minds, our hearts, and our souls. That we will never walk away from this truth. God, that no one here today within the sound of my voice will ever be deceived. That the voices of this world will not have an effect upon us. In the name of Jesus, greater, greater, greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. Jesus, I thank you that you are that greater, 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 greater. Oh, Master, Master, Master of the universe. Hear us when we cry to you. Hear us when we cry to you in the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it, man. That's it. You've got it. You've got it right there.